So Krishna, after describing, he was describing how the movements of the modes create reactions and how these movements of the modes determine our birth in different situations in this world. Sometimes in the higher planets, sometimes as an animal. So after describing all this and identifying many of the symptoms of the modes, now Krishna begins speaking about transcendence and how to transcend those modes. So he will explain this in verses 19 and 20, and then Arjun will ask a question very similar to a question which he had asked before. I think in chapter 2 we studied this. The symptoms of one who has transcended the modes. So here we go. This is Krishna speaking here. 19. Nanyam gunebhya kartaram yada drashtanu pasyati gunebhya chaparam vetti madbhavam sudhigachati. When one properly sees that in all activities no other performer is at work than these modes of nature, and he knows the Supreme Lord who is transcendental to these modes, he attains my spiritual nature. So how to transcend the modes here? This is... There are... in one sense, two different steps here that Krishna is giving us. What is the first step? To properly see. We have the word pasyati here, we have to see. And the living entity in this verse, his name is called drashta. You remember? Drashta means the seer, as opposed to who? Where did we hear that word before? Drashta?
Upadrashta.
Yes. And the Supreme Lord is the Upadrashta, is the overseer, is the supreme seer. But here we are talking of the drashta. This is the jiva. So the jiva himself, who is in the conditioned nature, he has to come to see. He has to understand. He has to see this conditioning of the mode. He has to learn how to recognize the mode and how to distinguish his own self from the workings of the modes. The body is made of the three gunas and it works under the influence of the three gunas. One has to understand oneself as different from the activities of the body. So we have to... And for this, the first step is to actually see the modes at work, because most of the time we identify with everything we do and we think it's me, and we do not see that now the mode of goodness is working through my body and it's making my body behave in such and such a way, and my mind is peaceful and I feel satisfied. I think I am satisfied. But the fact is that this impression of satisfaction means that the mode of goodness is breathing through our mind, through our body, and so we feel, you know, gently, energetic, but peaceful. So, but most of the time we are not aware of this. So we have to come to see these things and see how we are being entrapped in these modes in a very helpless way. Srila Prabhupada says it's like being under a spell. You know, what is a spell? Some magicians, they speak some black mantras or something, and you are under a spell. Something happens and the mind changes and you behave in a different way. And the spell means you are under control. Or we become bewildered by somebody or by something and we come under a spell. And when we are under a spell, we don't know we are under the spell. So this is what happens with us. We are very helpless. We are forced to act in so many different ways. So the first thing is to actually acknowledge that we are under the spell, that we are, you know, being tossed around by the modes of nature. And the most important is to identify these symptoms at the psychological level, as our working, as our mind is working. We should be understanding whether our thoughts and particularly our desires, under which modes they are. We can have desires and thoughts in the mode of ignorance, we can have desires and thoughts in the mode of passion, or in the mode of goodness. And then according to our desires, according to our thoughts, our aspirations, then we will act. And if the subtle plane is in goodness, or in passion, or in ignorance, then the activities will also be in those modes. The motivation for action. If the motivation for action is contaminated by the modes, then the activities will be material activities, and they will be activities which will create reaction and which will produce rebirth in this world. So it is very important to become the seer of our own activities and to become the seer of our own material mind desires and see where we are going. So, but being the seer actually means that we take a step back. So this is not easy to do. But this is the first step towards liberation. And Prabhupada said, first become conscious, and then Krishna conscious. That's the second step. Second step is this gunevyas chaparam vetti, that you should see the transcendent, you should see the transcendence. On one side, we should see the modes acting, and then we should see the transcendental part also. So the transcendental part means seeing ourselves as different from the gunas, but Prabhupada in the purport says that it means that we have to see Krishna. We have to turn towards Him. Understand that Krishna is beyond the mode and take His shelter. Surrender unto Him. Take His shelter. So this is very much what was recommended in the 7th chapter. Srila Prabhupada reminds us. What did Krishna say in the 7th chapter? How to transcend the mode? We have to surrender unto Him. He explained that this material nature is very difficult to overcome. Mama Maya Duratyaya. Mamevaye prapadyante. Those who surrender unto me, then very easily they can cross. So we have to turn to Krishna. But how to see this? This is very difficult. This is very, very, very difficult. Most of the days we can't see. So Srila Prabhupada in the purport is telling us the solution is also within here, because it says anupashyati. And we heard many times what means this anu. Prabhupada translated in the verse, properly see, but how do we properly see? we see properly when we take guidance from those who have a proper vision. If you remember, in the purport of 714, Srila Prabhupada was saying that the deliverer has, the rescuer has to be liberated. We need help on our own. These gunas, they have tied us, you know. We are so tired, we can't do anything. We cannot get out of these gunas. We have to surrender to one who is free. So, of course, the one who is the ultimate liberator is Krishna. We have to surrender to him. But to surrender to him, we surrender to the spiritual master. Prabhupada says we have to learn from the proper souls, those who are fully in Krishna consciousness. We have to be guided by the instruction of a bona fide spiritual master. Unless one has the help of spiritual authority, he cannot understand in what position he is actually situated. So the spiritual master will instruct us, will explain us our conditioning. This is all the purports of Bhagavad Gita. The Prabhupada is explaining, these are the modes of nature, this is how they work. The spiritual master will teach us how to reach transcendence, and he will also, and generally also, he will be able to tell us which modes are particularly guiding our existence, because we have to understand, am I in ignorance? Am I in passion? Am I in goodness? It's very important to understand what the body and mind are under, so that we can engage, so that we know what it is that we have to purify it. With the association of a bona fide spiritual master, he can see his real position, and by such an understanding, he can become fixed in full Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada said that such freedom from the modes, it comes gradually. It's not something magic, that the spiritual master is going to have a magic wand bang on our head and suddenly we are going to be situated on the transcendental platform. This will take place gradually. Prabhupada says, for one who is able to see things as they are, that means first we have to elevate ourselves to a certain level, and how to see things as they are basically means to work under the guidance of the spiritual master. And because he will show us what is what. And once we see things as they are by the grace of the spiritual master, that's why hearing is so important. Then he says, the influence of material nature gradually ceases. So this is what Krishna is explaining here. We have to properly see the difference between the soul and the body. We have to see how the body is under the modes and understand that we are not part of that. But that vision is given by the spiritual master. And we have to take shelter in him and in Krishna so that they may deliver us. This is the only solution. When we feel the influence of the modes of nature one way or the other, we have to turn to Krishna and take his shelter. Then he explains, gunane tanati chatre dehi deha samudhava janma mrityu jara dukhe vimukto mritamashmute. When the embodied being is able to transcend these three modes associated with the material body, he can become free from birth, death, old age, and their distresses, and can enjoy nectar even in this life. So in the previous verse, Krishna had also given us the result of what will happen when we transcend the mode, he said, Mad Bhavam Sa Adigacchati. He will attain to Mad Bhavam, which is my nature. And in this verse 20, Krishna further explains what is this Mad Bhavam. This is Mad Bhavam means that we will attain a situation which is beyond the three modes of material nature and a situation which is blissful. Amritam, it indicates different things, and one thing it indicates bliss, and it indicates deathlessness, a situation which is beyond this samsara. And this is vimukti, this is called vimukti, vimuktaha, being freed from the influence of the mode, he will attain a situation which is beyond this material world. Now, when will we attain this situation? So one thing is, as we said, janma mrityu jara dukkha vimukta, that means when, in the end, when he leaves his body, he will enter into my nature. But there is more meaning to that verse, because here we are talking of the dehi. Dehi means the what? The soul? Yeah, the soul. But the soul which is embodied. So if we take it to mean the soul which is embodied, which has a body, then this verse means that even in this life, and this is what Srila Prabhupada has translated, he can enjoy nectar even in this life. Which means that this verse indicates also the position of the Jivan Mukta, one who is liberated in this very lifetime. Prabhupada explains how one can stay in the transcendental position, even in this body, in full Krishna consciousness, is explained in this verse. By taking full shelter of the spiritual master and Krishna. By his advancement in spiritual knowledge, he can be free from the influence of the modes of nature. He can enjoy the happiness of spiritual life, even in this body, because after leaving this body, he is certainly going to the spiritual sky. So a devotee, that's the situation of a devotee, which is described here. Prabhupada explains. He explains, as usual, he explains it as per the conclusion, which is now coming after a few verses, that how do we obtain that transcendental position here? Srila Prabhupada says, devotional service in Krishna consciousness is the sign of liberation from material entanglement. And this will be explained in the 18th chapter. When one is freed from the influence of the modes of material nature, he enters into devotional service. So, if one under the guidance of the spiritual master understands the instructions, then he engages in devotional service. And these devotional activities, they are not motivated by the three gunas. Devotional service means to act under the instructions of the spiritual master, who is himself a representative of Krishna. So the activities, when we chant, when we hear, when we worship the deity, this is not born of our personal desires in passion or in goodness or in ignorance. This is the desire of the spiritual master. So when we execute the desire of the spiritual master, we are situated on the platform of transcendence. Of course, on this platform of transcendence, there are two stages. One is when we are in the neophyte stage. So in general, our activities of devotional service, they are transcendental activities, because they are, the impetus is the guru. the Shastra, the transcendental Bhakti Shastras and the Guru. So therefore it is not material. But because we are not fully liberated from the influence of the modes of nature, either we do not engage only in devotional service, we also do other things that are born from our own desires, or even while doing devotional service, we mix, we also have a few little material motivations, which mix with the order of the spiritual master. So the spiritual master may tell us to construct a temple. So as we are engaged in constructing a temple, this is transcendental activity. But at the same time, we may not be fully situated in Dasya and may desire to be recognized as the one who built the temple. So that part, that is born from Rajoguna. So that makes our devotional service tainted by the gunas. However, it is understood that by continuing to serve, these things, this contamination by the gunas will be burnt, and we will be able to reach to the second level of devotional service, which is purely serving without any material contamination, without laziness, without personal expectations, and even without some of the limitations of goodness, which we understood could stop us from accepting different kinds of services. So this is the position of freedom. So it should be understood that when one has taken to devotional service, is already seated on the path of transcendence, even though it may not be fully achieved virtually, but is already seated on the path of transcendence. We are on the path of liberation, and we are, our activities are liberated activities. If you understand properly that material activities are motivated by desires which are tinged with all the three modes. We have in general to desire is natural. But in general, due to the covering of ignorance, we desire for ourselves instead of desiring for Krishna. We are selfish in our desires, and then our desires are mixed either with ignorance, you know, I want to drink, that's ignorance. So when I drink, I want to drink beer, not water. Okay, I want to drink beer, so that's a desire, you know, I just want to dull my consciousness. So that's a desire, a selfish desire, because it's for myself, and I want to do it. But because I am under ignorance, so this is what I want to do. And when I drink, it's a material activity, and it's in ignorance, and the result would be degradation. So it's material. If I'm under passion, then I also want to enjoy. I want to enjoy, but I want, as we said, I want 2 cars, 3 cars, 5 houses, I want this, I want that. So everything I do is material. And the result is, you know, you get all the reactions, you get the misery that goes with it. And if I am in goodness, someone was saying this morning, I want to have a walk in the countryside. So all this is material. It's on the material platform. And the reaction will be punaha janma. You'll take birth again. Now when you, the jiva, accepts the order of Krishna, he says, give up all these engagements. Surrender unto me. I want you to worship my deity. I want you to chant. I want you to construct a temple. I want you to study my words. So when we do, so these, you can see these activities, they are not born from our material desires. They are Krishna's desire. And when we submit ourselves to do what the Guru says and what Krishna says, to follow the path of bhakti, our activities are already not, they are not material activities. They are transcendental activities, and their result will be elevation in transcendental knowledge, in transcendental consciousness, and liberation from this world. Understand? So they are not material activities because they are not motivated by selfish desires tainted by the gunas. They come from the another impetus. It's called an impetus, the force that pushes. So the impetus is guru. The impetus ultimately is Krishna. So therefore it's spiritual.
The impetus is Krishna, but in the execution of the mode is there. I mean, I can sound like Krishna because I have all this Krishnasana that I took out of the people.
Yes, so that's what I explained, is that in the beginning there are two stages. In the beginning the devotional service is mixed with the gunas, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. And you should learn to pilot things under the direction of the spiritual master so that gradually this influence will not be there. That's why Prabhupada said, we read this, that for one who is able to see things as they are, the influence of material nature gradually ceases. We have to practice. And gradually, gradually, we will not fall asleep while we are chanting, and gradually we will stop chanting for fame, and gradually we will do the things properly.
But even while in the stage where you come up with more, it's still regarded as transcendental.
Yeah, because the result will be transcendental, but it will be transcendental to the degree that it's pure. You know, if you chant Hare Krishna because I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that, you may also get that. So what Krishna says, he will also satisfy the material desires if you ask. You know, people go in front of the deity and like now I have one girl who has been calling me and she's in big trouble. So she told me, "Oh Mataji, I'm chanting very nicely." I told her, "Yes, that's obvious. You are in trouble. You're in trouble, so you're chanting very nicely. Because you need help. You know, so it's not pure devotion." But she said, "I never chanted so nicely." Said, "Yeah, yeah. Keep chanting, it's good, good. Keep chanting. It's good." But the motivation comes from somewhere. It's because she wants something specific she wants. So she's chanting for that only. But that's okay. In the beginning, what to do. However, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says we should be careful to do that. We should not continue. In the beginning, we may do that because we are not fully aware, but we should keep hearing and reading and understanding that we should not do that. We should not do that because it's misusing the Maha Mantra, and also it will just take us for another round in this world. We're just going to take birth again. Oh, I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. So the bhakti will remain at the same time. And then in the next life, we will take birth and we will get what we wanted. And we won't like it anymore. Because we will get it, and we will also get the result of our devotional service, which will be a higher consciousness. And when we get the material things plus the higher consciousness, oh, why did I desire this in my last life? Because we will see that it's useless. So we have to be very careful in maintaining material desires. It's the 10th offense in the chanting of the Holy Name, to maintain material attachments, even after having understood so many instructions on the matter. Yes. So we have to be careful. But in the beginning, it's okay, because we don't know. So we have to purify our practice of devotional service. But you can't take it away, the fact that when you act under the order of the spiritual master, there will be a transcendental result. If the activity is transcendental, there will be a transcendental result. If we mix it up with something else, well, we may also get some material result. We'll get both. Text 21. Now Arjuna is going to ask a question, hearing these things. Arjuna vacha kelinge stringuna netan atito bhavati prabho kimachara katam chaitam stringuna nativartate. Arjuna inquired, O my dear Lord, O Prabhu, by which symptoms is one known who is transcendental to these three modes? What is his behavior? And how does he transcend the modes of nature? So, there are three questions here. Kalinge stringunanetan atito bhavati. By which symptoms is one known who is transcendental? And then there is kim acharaha. What is his behavior, his conduct? And katam chaitam stringunan ativartate. By which means does he transcend the mode of nature? So this person is going to be called in the next series of verses, in verse 25, gunatita. Gunatit. Gunatit means beyond the modes. The liberated person who is beyond the gunas. So what symptoms? And particularly the symptoms here will be internal symptoms. What are the internal symptoms of such persons? And then what are his activities? How does he conduct himself? And finally, by which practice does he elevate himself to this position? Arjuna inquires of the means by which he can attain the transcendental nature. That is very important. Unless one knows the direct means by which one can be situated always transcendentally, there is no possibility of showing the symptoms. So we should know the way. So where did we see this question before? 254, yes. He asked, how does he walk? How does he sit? So this was the symptoms of the sthita pragya. So this is the same. One who has transcended the modes. Shri Bhagavanu Vacha Prakasham cha pravrittim cha mohameva cha pandava nadveshti sampravrittani nanivrittani kankshati udasina vadasino gunernyula vichalyate gunavartanta ityevam yovatishtati nengate samadukha sukham svatsta samaloshta svakanchana Tulya priya priyo dhiras tulya nindat prasanstuti manapamalayas tulyas tulyo mitrari pakshayo sarvaramha parityagi gunatita sauchate. So I'm sure you must have recognized many words here that we heard before in connection to this thing. Na dveshti, na kangshati, samadukha sukha, yes, samalushtas na kanchana, priya priyo, so many things. Mana apamanaya, this also we had seen before. before Sarvaramba Parityagi. So we already heard many of these things before. Here Krishna has put them all together again. The Supreme Personality of God had said, O son of Pandu, he who does not hate illumination, attachment, and delusion when they are present or long for them when they disappear. He who is unwavering and undisturbed through all these reactions of the material qualities, remaining neutral and transcendental, knowing that the modes alone are active. He who is situated in the self and regards alike happiness and distress, who looks upon a lump of earth, a stone, and a piece of gold with an equal eye, who is equal towards the desirable and the undesirable, who is steady, situated equally well in praise and blame, honor and dishonor. And he who treats alike both friend and enemy, and who has renounced all material activities, such a person is said to have transcended the modes of nature. So this is very similar to things that we heard before. So this is Krishna answering Arjuna's question here. And the way he answers is that in verse 22, he is actually answering the first question, which was, what are the symptoms? And linga actually usually refers to something subtle. So what are the internal symptoms of one who is transcendent? Now, the way it is translated, O son of Pandu, he who does not hate illumination, attachment, and delusion when they are present or longs for them when they disappear. Is that clear? Yes, says Pandita. Yes? What does that mean? What are we talking about here? Do you hate illumination? Who hates illumination? Attachment, delusion. So what are these things here? Illumination, attachment, delusion. They are manifestations of the modes, yes. Yes, different manifestations of the modes. You can see that in the text it says prakasham. Remember prakasham? Where does this come from? It's goodness. Goodness is prakashakam. And what is pravrittim? This is the passion, this indicates the fruitive activities and their results. And what is the third one? Moham. So this is the illusion, ignorance. And of course there is na dveshti, na kaunshati. So one who is, in other words, this refers to someone who is very neutral. He doesn't particularly, he's not attracted to things in goodness, neither passion nor ignorance. And it's not, he's not attracted to them. He doesn't try to get things in the mode of goodness, passion, of ignorance. He doesn't try to act in under those modes. And he's not bothered when they are there. So he's neutral. Somebody who has become undisturbed by the modes of nature. He doesn't have the desire to enjoy. He doesn't have the desire also for liberation. Nadveshti, it also refers to this. He doesn't want to get rid of anything. He doesn't want to acquire anything. Mm. So usually such stage is considered to be, it's not particularly the stage of devotional service, it's more a stage like before you come to devotional service, of one who has understood himself as transcendental. So such person is like this. But how to remain on that stage? We may come to know about this, but how to situate oneself permanently on that stage and practically sit on that stage, Prabhupada explains that is by devotional service. One who engages in devotional service, so he is practically situated on that platform. He is not motivated by any of the modes, and is not acting under any of the modes, is not bothered by the reactions of activities in the modes, is peaceful. But that peace in the mind is known by him alone. Only we know how much we are influenced by the modes of nature. Others can know partially. We trace something, some people are fighting, we understand, oh, that is ignorance. Some people are depressed, cries, so we can understand, oh, this is this. But we think, oh, it is ignorance, but actually maybe that person is in ecstasy of separation inside, so we mistake. So only ourselves we know what is happening within ourselves and under which influence our mind is, and so on. So we should. The idea here is that Krishna is inviting us to see within ourselves how much we are influenced by the modes of nature. And the least we are influenced, then we can understand that the more we are situated in transcendence. Then he moves on to explain the second question, answer, kimachara, how does he conduct himself? So Prabhupada explains, it's the same, but this is what we see from the outside. He's not disturbed, you know, somebody insults him, he tolerates very nicely. Somebody praises him, so he doesn't become all elated and thinks, I am the best in the world. He also takes it. He knows that actually we are not the doer. So he's not moved by happiness, distress, and he has no attachment. We can see the way he deals with the material objects. He is not intent on accumulating more. So he doesn't appreciate, you know, simply very materially valuable things. He doesn't have, he doesn't see friends, he doesn't see enemies. So this is in his external behavior. Things that we can track, we can trace how that person is actually reacting. When we explained the second chapter, we saw that how the person reacts. And that way we can judge. Prabhupada explains this also. So this is a person who is not just a philosopher, but who also, we can also trace in the behavior certain things. So Prabhupada has explained in his purport some of this. Arjuna submitted three different questions and the Lord answers them one after another. So about the symptoms, Prabhupada says, as long as he is not out of the material body, he should be neutral. He should engage himself in the devotional service of the Lord so that his identity with the material body will automatically be forgotten. When we engage in the service of the Lord, we accept our spiritual identity. That's why we chant, that's why we worship, because we accept that I am not this body. Therefore, I worship. If I am this body, I go somewhere else. I don't go to the temple. I don't do any deity worship. But because I accept that I am not this body, then I do these things. How does he become aloof? He does not desire to enjoy the body, nor does he desire to get out of it. So this is the practical hint that Prabhupada said that we have to work on. We have to somehow or other work on not falling under the desires to enjoy the body or the desires to avoid suffering. Instead, we should simply be fixed on the devotional service of the Lord, because this is the proof that we are not this body. This is when we serve. As soon as we stop serving because it's too hot, because it's too cold, because this, because that, because they're not saying any good things about me, because this, because that, then we fall back on the material platform. So we should just continue serving, whatever service it may be, but we should continue to do it. And this is the spiritual position for us. Then about the behavior, Prabhupada said, the next question concerns the dealings of a transcendentally situated person. He performs his duty in Krishna consciousness and does not mind whether a man honors him or dishonors him. Social and political issues do not affect him because he knows the situation of temporary upheavals and disturbances. So we see sometimes how we can get affected. There are so many social issues. There are so many political issues. And sometimes we just spend our whole time debating, arguing, finding quotes for these things. But the most intelligent person engages himself in deeply trying to connect his mind with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is the right way. And then in this way the person transcends and achieves the mission of life. Otherwise we remain on the material platform. We can argue forever. There is always a different way to do things. There is always a different opinion. Then the answer to the third question is given in verse 26.
Manchayo vyavicharena bhakti yogena sevate Sagunan samati chetan brahma bhuyaya kalpate.
One who engages in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. So what is the means to attain to the transcendental position which is given by Krishna? It's pure devotional service. Avyabhicharini bhakti. You remember there was a whole list in the process of how to cultivate knowledge, and number 16 was avyabhicharini bhakti. This is the item out of all the items of knowledge which is going to give us this transcendence. And it is the root, we said, of all the other qualities. And whose devotional service? He says, mam cha, which in this case, the Acharya says it means mam eva, my devotional service, only mine. Krishna is always a little particular. Of course, Prabhupada explains this means Krishna, his expansions. In the Nectar of Devotion, you will study this, that Krishna means himself, his expansions, his paraphernalia, his devotees, his dham, everything that's connected with him. If we serve like Vishnupriya served Lord Chaitanya's chapel, his shoes, after he left her his shoes. So she worshipped the shoe. And by doing this service, well, we become transcendental. So we should engage directly. This is the direct path of devotional service. This is not the indirect path. This is the direct path, the elevator. Bhakti yoga. So this is, Srila Prabhupada explained that this means that we should, instead of putting our consciousness into so many material arguments and so many material activities, we should simply transfer our consciousness to Krishna. Simple method. Very simple method. And this is actually what Krishna was saying in the very beginning in verse 19, when he said, Gunebhyas chaparam veti, that you should know that which is transcendental. And Prabhupada, he told us that you should understand and serve Krishna. You should understand his presence and take shelter in him. So this is the same here. We take shelter of Krishna. So, this is the mystery of devotional service. That how we can regain transcendence by working for Krishna, by doing what he says. We heard that, for example, we will develop tamoguna by lying down. If we lie down, this is a tamasic position, so very soon, sleep will come. And if we eat some super spicy food, then the next thing is we will have a little excess of passion. And so on. For example, if we endeavor for regulation, then the mode of goodness is going to be brought about. So we can bring about the nature, a particular type of nature, by practicing its activities, its symptoms. So in the same way, we can develop transcendence, what Krishna says, madbhavam, his transcendental nature. We can develop that by doing his work, by practicing the activities of devotional service. We will develop another type of consciousness. Because tamas, rajas, and so on, it refers mostly to the coverings of the consciousness. So by working in tamas, we will develop a tamasic consciousness. By working in rajas, we will develop a rajasic consciousness. By working in goodness, we will develop a goodness, a consciousness in goodness. And by working for Krishna directly, and here it says avyabhicharini, which means constantly, without interruption, and also making an effort to remove the material desires and all other things which are coming from the mode, by making an effort to actually practice pure devotional service, complete dedication to Krishna in our activities, we will develop a transcendental consciousness. We will attain sagunan samatityetan, means you will transcend the mode, and brahma bhuyaya kalpate. We will attain the position of Brahman. So Brahman is the transcendental position beyond the modes of nature. This morning I was telling Prabhupada was asking a question. We were talking of the iron, the piece of iron. When it is put in the fire, it acquires the quality of the fire. So when we associate with the transcendentalist in devotional service, when we work in devotional service, even though we are material, we will become completely transcendental, and our consciousness, which initially is material, will be transformed or cleansed and become transcendental consciousness. So this is the platform of liberation. And Prabhupada explains that this is actually our natural position. We just have to make a cleanup. He says his nature, the Lord's nature, is eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge. It is Brahman. And the living entities are part and parcel of the Supreme, as gold particles are part of a gold mine. So we are gold, but we forgot. Bhakti yoga, so that's another point here. Srila Prabhupada explains in Srimad Bhagavatam, as soon as one is fully Krishna conscious, it is to be understood that one is in his pure original constitutional position. This state of existence is called Shuddha Sattva, which means that it is transcendental to the material qualities. Since this Shuddha Sattva existence is under the direct action of the internal potency, in this state the activities of material consciousness stop. Now he's saying that this is actually what will ultimately happen to one who continues to absorbing himself in devotional service. The activities of material consciousness will stop. This means the material desires will stop. The heaviness that we feel coming from the mode of ignorance, that will stop. You can see the transcendental devotees within our movement, how they are moving, how they are amazingly traveling all the time. And as soon as they get down the plane, they sit on the Vyasasana and they give a lecture, and then they move on to another program and another program and another program. And one doesn't know where does their power come from. But this is the point, is that there is no more effect of the material modes in their consciousness. They may feel like, I need to sleep. But with us it's different. We don't feel, oh, I need to sleep. We simply fall asleep irresistibly because we are under the modes. But someone who is fully engaged in devotional service comes to this state that he knows, I need to sleep. Okay. I will sleep after I finish this, that. Then I'll sleep. And he is able to actually do it. Whereas we are not like this. Even if we say, okay, I'll sleep after some time, but again, the sleepiness comes and we fall under this heaviness. So here Prabhupada says, for example, when iron is put into a fire, it becomes warm. And when red hot, although it is iron, it acts like fire. Similarly, when copper is surcharged, this is another example, when copper, the copper thread, is surcharged with electricity, its action as copper stops, it acts as electricity. Bhagavad Gita 14:26 also confirms that anyone who engages in unadulterated devotional service to the Lord is at once elevated to the position of pure Brahman. So our main work in Krishna consciousness is to clear our purpose. Always, before doing any devotional service, we must pay our obeisances to the spiritual master, and we have to remember for which reason I am acting. Am I doing this for me, for my fame, for this, for that, or am I doing it simply as a servant? If we can clarify this every time we act, before acting, not after. Oh, sorry, Krishna. I really meant to do it for you, but I thought little mistake. So we have to try to learn to be conscious before taking the action. And that doesn't mean just every morning as we wake up. It means at every time, before taking prasadam, we have to have that at least few seconds of remembering, offering our gratitude, and you know, entering the mode of dasya. Because basically, as soon as our body gets up from anywhere, immediately the mode of passion attacks, and you forget. And then you move on to your next activity, and if you don't stop and think again, then you may do that activity for any damn reason, even though it looks like devotional service. So we have to constantly clear our purpose to come as close as possible to this Avyavicharini Bhakti. Shuddha Sattva is a transcendental position which is technically called Vasudeva. When one is free from the contamination of material nature and is situated in pure Krishna consciousness or in the Vasudeva state, Vasudeva, the Supreme Person, is revealed. This state is also called Kaivalya, which means pure consciousness. So first, as we work through in devotional service, we come to this point of, you know, purity, and then Krishna will be revealed. Because for those who are on the path of jnana, it is bhakti comes, you know, a little later. But for us, it is already there. We are already practicing bhakti, but it is mixed. So we have to clear the mixture and come to this point of pure devotional service. Four, three, 23. So Srila Prabhupada also explains that that this we attain Brahma Bhuyaya, it means that we come, as we heard before, to Madbhavam. We come to the transcendental nature, which is the same as the Lord. Because Prabhupada says, to be a personal assistant to a king, one must acquire the qualifications. Thus, the qualification is to become Brahman, or free from all material contamination. So the devotee, because some people are very happy here, the impersonalists are very happy with the results of bhakti here, which is Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. You enter into the Brahman, or you become Kalpate. You become Brahman. But what does that mean, to become Brahman? It means to acquire the qualities of Brahman. Because unless we are Brahman, we cannot serve the Brahman. So we enter into the divine nature. We come to that level of being situated in the Vasudev consciousness, that transcendental consciousness. This is what it means here. And how do we know that this means this? Well, one argument that Prabhupada gives is that as soon as we talk of bhakti, we mean duality. There is no question of monism when you talk of bhakti. Because bhakti means that there is, bhakti is an activity which is offered to someone. So if there is bhakti, there is bhakta, and there is bhokta. These are the three terms which are always given. There is the bhakta, there is the bhakti, and there is the bhokta. So this verse cannot really be interpreted in an impersonal way. Prabhupada says, Bhakti Yoga means that the Lord is there, the devotee is there, and the activity of exchange of love between the Lord and the devotee is there. So this is Bhakta, Bhokta, Bhakta, and Bhakti. Therefore, the individuality of two persons is present in the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the individual person. Otherwise, there would be no meaning to Bhakti Yoga. So we have to be convinced in this way. This is the way that Srila Prabhupada explained these words. Wherever there is Bhakti, there is duality. Therefore, this Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate, it doesn't mean you become Brahman. It means you enter into the Brahman atmosphere. You come at that level of Shuddha Sattva, which is beyond the modes. And then what happens is explained in the next verse. Yes?
Prabhupada says the Supreme Lord also has its presence. I had a question.
Good. Brahmano hi pratishtaham amritasya vyayasya cha shashvatasya cha dharmasya sukhasya kantikasya cha. And so now Krishna reveals to completely smash this impersonal idea is that yes, he comes to the platform of Brahman, and guess what? I am the support of that Brahman. He comes from behind the curtain here and he reveals himself. I am the basis of the impersonal Brahman. And it says and because it's really these two verses have to be taken together. And I am the basis of the impersonal Brahman, which is immortal, imperishable, and eternal, and is the constitutional position of ultimate happiness. So the qualities of this Brahman have been mentioned. Amritasya. So Amrita, as we know, that means it's immortal, it's eternal. Avyaya, it's imperishable, unchangeable. Shashvata, it's eternal. And Amrita also means it's also blissful. It is the constitutional position, dharmasya, and it's the happiness, position of ultimate happiness. So this is where the devotee reaches. But at the same time, as we heard, for one who practices devotional service, to just transcend the mode, this is neither the end, nor is it what really just happens. What happens is that the devotee comes in contact with Krishna, because he's the one who is beyond the Brahman. So when we take it in terms of those who gradually realize things, then we know, Prabhupada explained, first you realize the Brahman, and then you realize the Paramatma, and then you come to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And there is no question of remaining situated in the Brahman if one doesn't understand this point, that behind the Brahman there is the Supreme Lord, and one does not take shelter in Him. And as far as happiness in Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada says that the servant of the king enjoys on an almost equal level with the king. And so eternal happiness, imperishable happiness, and eternal life accompany devotional service. Therefore, realization of Brahman or eternity or imperishability is included in devotional service. This is already possessed by a person who is engaged in devotional service. So by devotional service, we automatically come to the platform of Brahman. Because when we are connected with the Lord, all these things are included. Srila Prabhupada explains this as follows. By engagement in devotional service in full Krishna consciousness, one is immediately situated in the transcendental position and his unlawful desire to control material nature is removed. And if you remember, this was the cause of the association of Prakriti and Purusha. What was the cause? The rebelliousness, that desire to control instead of the desire to serve. So devotional service means you serve. And by serving, this desire to control is gradually destroyed. So this is how devotional service works at the root of our conditioning, whereas all the other processes works, you know, on the surface. But devotional service works at the root. And the root is our false identification, which is rooted in this desire to control, to be the enjoyer. Once material desire to dominate is removed, this is the effect of devotional service. It does not just remove superficial things, it removes the root of our association with the Prakriti. Devotional service to the Lord is otherwise very simple. One should always engage in the service of the Lord. One should eat the remnants of foodstuffs offered to the deity, smell the flowers offered to the lotus feet of the Lord, see the places where the Lord had his transcendental pastimes, read of the different activities of the Lord, his reciprocation of love with his devotees, chant always the transcendental vibration, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, and observe the fasting days commemorating the appearances and disappearances of the Lord and his devotees. By following such a process, one becomes completely detached from all material activities. One who can thus situate himself in the Brahma Jyoti or in the different varieties of the Brahman conception is equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in quality. So this is the coming to transcendence through devotional service that is explained by Krishna. Any questions on this? Yes?
Prabhupada says the Supreme Lord is full in six organizations, and when the devotee approaches him, there is an exchange of these six organizations. What does that mean?
Yeah, this refers to sometimes they say this refers to Shashvatasya, that the Lord has six opulences. What is the exchange? We said yesterday that whatever belongs to the Father also belongs to the Son. This is what happens. This is the exchange of opulences. The devotee has everything because the Lord, while the devotee is in this world, the devotee gets everything he needs for his service, to perform anything in the service of the Lord, and he's fully maintained. He doesn't have to start thinking separately. And when he enters the spiritual world, he obtains a body which is the same as the body as the Lord. And he enjoys the opulence of the Lord in his kingdom, just as a son lives in the house that has been built by his father without making any efforts. He also has a car, he also has his own room, he also has servants, he also has everything, because the father has them. This is what it means. Yeah, the servant of the king enjoys on the same level as the king. What does the servant of the king eat? Huh? Yeah, he eats the remnants. You can see many times all our, like, it's a small example, but our sannyasis or leaders in our movement, they always have their cooks with them. There is always one cook, two cooks, three cooks, and they cook whatever. So sometimes, I mean, except when the sannyasi is on strict diet, then otherwise they cook quite nice, healthy and nice prasadam. And what do the servants eat? You know, there is one person to feed, but when they order the food, they say, we are three. Yeah, because the point is that they are completely busy in the service of that person. And if the food doesn't come at the same time as that, where are they going to eat? Because then, you know, just after lunch, the sannyasi is moving on to another place. And it's not that the servant is going to go to the prasadam hall and say, please wait, Maharaj, I have to eat. So this is what happens. When you are a servant, you move along with the master, but you should never misunderstand when you carry the danda that I am the sannyasi. You should not misunderstand that, otherwise everything finished. So we are the servant and he is the master. We serve him, we have everything. Yes? Some other question? Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes, there is also even in Brahman there is Brahmananda. There is Brahmananda, but it is not complete ananda. It's just this ananda is just liberation. You know, it's a bad example. I'm sorry for the bad example. I don't know where I heard that example. Somebody was being constipated for 10 days. One good morning, goes to the bathroom and passes out all his life. He feels, ah. That is liberation. This is liberation. Feels good. He feels totally good. It's really good. This is Brahmananda. From the point of view of the Vaishnavas. This is Brahmananda. The absence of material miseries, you know, somebody who's got a huge pain, you know, everywhere, all over the body. So when the pain stops, he takes a painkiller, there is no more pain. So in one sense, this is nirvana, that you don't feel any more the material pain. But Brahmananda is no more material distress, plus the sense of eternity, you know. No more this pressure of time, you know, yesterday, today, tomorrow, finished. It's all gone. There is no more material time. There is no fear. There is no sleep. There is no material desires. There is no mind. No more mind. Now you understand, right? Yes, very nice. Yes. So this is the Brahmananda. There is a sense of happiness in the Brahman. But that happiness you will read in the Nectar of Devotion. It is just as much water as there is in a calf's hoof print. You know, calf's hoof print, you have seen now in Vrindavan, in the rainy season. Little calf, their paws are like so small, and they make imprints in the mud, then it rains. So there is a little hole like this, and there's water inside. This is Brahmananda. The quantity of water there, this is the quantity of happiness experienced by the impersonalist. And the ocean, this is the quantity of happiness experienced by in relationship to Krishna. Remember, you see him, his beautiful form is so beautiful that all the senses want to become eyes. You can see him, you can touch him, you can do things with him, you can walk around with him, you can hear his voice. This is not like Brahmananda. This is very different. Very different. way, it is ultimate happiness because as opposed to material happiness, which is always mixed. So the Brahman is on the spiritual platform. So it is ultimate happiness. Yeah, also says that. Yeah. Krishna is the source. Okay, so we stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.